Leafs Nation post game. Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick alongside me. Unfortunately, for the last time this season, the Leafs season coming to a close tonight. A hard-fought game, and boy, oh boy, is there plenty to chew on. Gordo, I've leaned on you all season long. If there's ever a night I need to lean on you, it's now. I am going to let you start us off. Where do we begin with a 2-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 7 of their first-round series? Where do we start, Gordo?
Well, I've enjoyed our first year together, but I have to say I'm really tired of this. I did this with Rick Natras. Mm-hmm. I did this with Mark Osborne. I did this with Todd Olushko. I did this with Mark Savard. And now I'm doing it with you. And so there's lots we can stop. I'm getting all kinds of texts, and people competed hard. They did. They really did.
Great.
This time.
Yeah.
They really did. But it's underwhelming, again, to be in this position again. Washington, Boston, Columbus, Montreal, Tampa Bay, whatever, year after year after year after year, just does not cut it at the end of the day. It just doesn't. It doesn't. The big picture. The compete factor, this team competed a lot better than certainly the last two playoffs that were extremely underwhelming. So I really like this team. I really like this team. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed for this team. But, you know, tonight reminded me a lot, Brent, like last year, like Andrei Vasilevskiy has a stat. The last five before this game, playoff clinching games for the Tampa Bay Lightning, he had a shutout in each of the five games. Stunning. And someone just texted that to me, and then the Leafs scored. But it was almost like this was almost like the 1-0 win that they had in Game 7 last year over the Islanders, the Tampa Bay Lightning. This was 2-1, and the Leafs really, really, you know, pushed in the third period. But they're blocking shots. They're doing whatever. And, you know, they took the lead in the opposing barn. And they held it, and it just was that. So I'm underwhelmed because I know the Leafs' firepower, which wasn't there tonight. I know they tried, but at the end you got to execute, and I give Tampa Bay Lightning a lot of credit for that. But, man, this would have been like the Raptors winning the NBA championship tonight, that kind of thing, a step down from it, but comparable. And here we are again, really? Really? This is what it is again. This team 4 years ago that Joel Quenneville talked about coaching the Chicago Blackhawks when they played the Leafs said, man, I remember we got Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, and I can see so many comparables. And we're here again? Again? And there's lots of positives you'll talk about and I'll talk about. But we're here again?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Gord. I mean, and look, I know if you're sitting out there listening, I want to complain about the officiating. I will complain about the officiating, but that's not where we can start, okay? You nailed it at the end there. That third period did look a lot like that 1-0 win that the Lightning had to close out the Islanders last year. And, you know, did the Leafs have a ton of puck possession? Yes, but man, oh man, the amount of times they're just doing laps around the offensive zone with nothing to show for it other than a blocked shot. And I forget who it is who has the quote, but the other teams trying to would be a great sports book. I understand. The Lightning, yes, they were packing it in. Yes, they were blocking every shot. Yes, that's what the heart of a champion looks like, but that's the difference in the game tonight. I mean, Andrei Vasilevskiy was incredible, and hey, there's a world where you put 50 shots on him and you only get one past him. It's entirely possible. That's where, you know, in terms of the play tonight, that's where the frustration lies, that they just couldn't get anything through at the end. And I'm not putting this on one guy. This isn't Morgan Riley couldn't get the puck through on the power play. This isn't Austin Matthews couldn't get it through. Nobody could get it through in the third period. It just felt like a forest of bodies in front of Vasilevskiy every single time a guy had a look. And, you know, that's where the frustration lies for me. And that's what a team like Tampa knows how to do. They know how to close not only games, but they know how to close series as well. And that's the question we always have about this Leafs team. Now, the one good thing about this, you touched on it all. This wasn't a group that folded. This wasn't a group that came out flat. This wasn't a group that spotted Tampa a 2-0 lead. And, you know, maybe this is as good a time as any to talk about the biggest kind of swing point in this game tonight. This team, previous iterations of this team, would have completely gone in the tank after that Tavares goal got wiped out on what I think is a okay interference call, but you have to then call 25 interference penalties a game. That was maybe the most, if you're sitting here going, what are the things that you can take out of this game? Do you have to make changes? Is the core flawed? I think the fact that they were able to bounce right back after getting, I don't know, jobbed, for lack of a better term, on that call, that was maybe the most encouraging thing about tonight's game to me, was the fact that they had all of these just crestfallen moments, you know, the Tavares goal getting wiped out, and then Paul scoring just a couple minutes after Riley ties it up, and they came back and they had pushback. This wasn't a group that folded. It wasn't a group that was flat. It wasn't Jack Campbell saying, here, Tampa, go ahead and have this game. I mean, yes, he got out goaltended because it has to always happen in a Leafs playoff series, but it wasn't Jack Campbell's fault either. And I think maybe that's the most frustrating part about this, Gord, is that it almost be easier if it was the Alex Kerfoot gaffe from the other night, or, you know, we'll go back to last year, and it's Galchenyuk with the backhand into the middle in overtime. It's almost easier if that's the case. Outside of guys wearing stripes, I don't know who people are going to be pointing fingers at tonight. And the Leafs didn't lose this game because of the officials, but I think that's where most people are going to go with the quote-unquote blame.
Well, it's not the place to go, though. It's you got one goal. You hardly had any shots on goal till the third period. I know Jeff O'Neill, O-Dog's not with our, he's with the opposing network, but he just talked about you can't have like a Kerfoot moment that happened last game. You can't do that. And, you know, again, Muzzin fell, I understand that. But just before he fell, if you're watching the play, you're thinking, I think the Lightning were ripe to get too many men on the ice again. They were kind of screwed up on the bench. And then he flat out fell. And then TJ Brody got caught puck watching. And TJ Brody's had a great year, you know? And Nick Paul, the trade deadline pickup, like Max Domi earlier today for the Carolina Hurricanes, and gets that goal that Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or John Tavares or William Nylander, you know, you hope would get. So I agree. Right after the Tavares goal, there's that pick and there's that disappointment. And again, there's no quit in this team. I'm never going to use that word about this. I like this team so much. But part of the problem is we're comparing it comparable to the pathetic endings in Columbus and Montreal, which is the core of this team. So, okay, great. They've grown from that. So great. You know, to go back to when Joel Quenneville made that remark, he had to win a playoff round by now. He had to some way, shape, or form win a playoff round. And this one was a lot more difficult than Columbus or Montreal or against Boston when you had a 3-2 lead and were up 1-0 in game 6 at home. This was more difficult, but you blank those ones away. And this one, you competed. But the thing about winning, you didn't find a way to win.
No, you didn't. I have to get in my, not even licks, because I don't think it was an outright unfair or, you know, they're coming after the Leafs or anything like that. But the problem is, for me, when you wipe out the Tavares goal on, okay, like, if we're going to live in the world where that's an interference penalty, that's fine. On Nick Paul's first goal, a Lightning player is sitting on David Kampf at the Leafs blue line as Kampf's trying to get back into play. You mentioned Muzzin falling on that play, and hey, he fell before this happened, but Alex Killorn's holding on to his stick the entire time that's happening. Like, the problem for me is, once you go ahead and wipe out a goal in a moment like that, and again, kudos to the Leafs for coming back and bouncing back and finding life after it. It's just, that's the problem for me, is that when you have a goal get wiped out like that and you can sit there and point to two other plays on Lightning goals and say, what happened here? That's where the frustration just so belies me. But you're right, Gord. You have to find a way to get more than one. And I do have to bring up one other officiating moment in this game. So there's a terrible, I think it was a hook call on Palat in the third period that gave the Leafs the penalty. And I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, that's the David Kampf moment right there. That's the penalty that should have been. Can this team take advantage? And then William Nylander is pulled down in a scrum right in front of the net. And that's a trip. And just like two nights ago in Tampa, they get the 5-on-3, and that's the death knell. And they come back and they win it in overtime. And it's just, is it the ref's fault? No, it's not. But I cannot sit here doing a post-game show and breaking down the poorest mode. I feel like I'd be doing Leafs Nation a disjustice or an injustice. I don't know. Words have lost all meaning. I'm so grief-ridden here at the end of this. And so I feel like I have to bring all that up. And Gord, I know you're more mature than me. You've been through this a couple more times than I have.
Well, I don't know if
I'm
more mature. I don't know if I'm more mature. But,
okay, well, I'm happy you let me get that off my chest because it's all I saw all night, and it's all that's ringing through my brain, but there's so much more to the game than that. So I'm happy
about it. And when you are one down, the refs will only call two things. If the puck goes in the crowd, the delay of game, that's an obvious one. And then the stick getting up in the face. Otherwise, you're right. They'll let things go, and you're not wrong about that. But I would say that would be a consistent non-call. You know, but I'll go, they had the face-off with 19 seconds left, goaltender pulled. They won the draw, and they didn't get a shot on net. So even though they started shooting in the third period, Brent, we talked about like the overtime goal the other night was just an innocent-looking shot by Tampa Bay that got in. And Leafs outshot them, outchanced them, out everything then, but still didn't do enough shots on goal, particularly in OT. This is last game. Because OT, you're tired. Vasilevsky was more human in that particular game. And, you know, do you know what I'm talking about, that 19 seconds?
Yep, like, I know
like,
exactly
okay,
what
great.
You're talking about.
They won it. Great. You're waiting. And again, even though they started firing the puck a lot more often in the third period, to me, again, that was a thing. Just get being constructive criticism. Some more, like again, you kept looking, going, no, you had a better opportunity when you got the puck. And I know that's easy for us because the game's 1,000 miles an hour when it's on the ice. But, it happened far too often that way, you know, just – particularly knowing how Tampa Bay plays, like they're the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion. So if you're holding the puck for two steamboats, you're probably out of luck, right?
Well,
and that happened too long.
And here's the thing, you know, I'm just looking at the numbers now. Okay, 17 shots on goal in the third period. They had 6 and 8 respectively through the first two periods. Like, clearly it was a point of emphasis as the game went on, but you couldn't wait. You waited too long before you started really peppering Vasilevsky. And man, like, Matthews had his looks, and Marner was incredible. That might have been the most impactful game I've seen Mitch Marner play as a Leaf. And I know he's had 5-point games, and he's had hat tricks, and he's had basically a 100-point season here. I thought he was all over it. And, you know, I know that you wince every time you hear this point. But for a guy who had a rough playoffs last year and who some people felt hurt about it a lot, there will be nobody sitting here going, what on earth was Mitch Marner doing in Game 7? He was breathtaking tonight.
Yeah, well, him and Auston Matthews had great playoffs. Yep. And I still, like, again, he had a terrible playoff last year. I just dispute the amount of criticism, but that's irrelevant now. But you mentioned a stat, because we talk about the third period. 14 shots in the first two period, home ice advantage, last change, all that stuff, all that firepower that doesn't cut the mustard. Mm-hmm. And the first period was going to end 0-0, and I was saying to who I was watching it, saying, well, that's good for Tampa Bay Lightning because you always want, and then they score. And I just was watching the Boston Carolina game tomorrow, and earlier was the stat came out that whoever scores first in game sevens wins 75% of them. So now, all of a sudden, odds wise, that's not looking in the least favor. So that just doesn't cut the mustard. So the third period, they get the shots. Now that game four in Tampa Bay where the Leafs won, right, and they held on to that 3-2 lead. They were hanging on for dear life. Tampa Bay doesn't hang on for dear life. They hang on for it differently. It's not hanging on for dear life. They know how to play with the one goal lead in the third period. So even though you're getting all those shots against them and all that happened, and then, hey, what Andre Vasilevsky, we started our commentary about the guy plays ordinary. How many 7-game stretches do you get 7 ordinary games out of Andre Vasilevsky? You know due. So that's all of a sudden you got through. Let's go back to the first two periods. Like when you're supposed to, when you're like, never mind. You shouldn't, you know, theoretically, if you're one of those teams that is deserving of going to the Stanley Cup, that knows how to win in playoffs, like you're not in the third period down after only 14 shots on home ice with last change.
No, that's exactly it. There had to be, and it's, again, this is different. It is different from the last few years. This wasn't a team that, you know, I think it was Nylander who had the comment that, oh, we've come out and we played passive. It wasn't necessarily playing passive, but it was almost that they were expecting Vasilevskiy to have that game where he stands on his head. And, you know, we made this comment after, I actually think it was the last game. You can't pass the puck into the net against this guy. Sometimes you just have to let it fly. And it did feel like, especially early on, it was, okay, we're going to have to get the perfect, you know, kind of tic-tac-toe passing play just to get it past this guy. And, you know, who knows if the game is different if you pepper it, if you just start peppering him with shots. You know, another guy who I thought had a lot of jump tonight, and honestly, it was maybe the most I've noticed him in the series, or at least until the first couple games, was Ilya Mikheyev. You know, he had a few chances. He had one in the third period where he tries to shoot it short side on Vasilevskiy, and that has to be the first time this year that he hasn't cut it wide around the goalie and tried to use his backhand there. I could not believe that from Mikheyev, but I liked his game in the third especially. I thought he showed a ton of jump there, and it was maybe one of the better games of him from this series, because again, you know, heading into this series and after the first game, so much of the talk was, hey, maybe the Leafs are the team that have that super line, that they have the third line, and it was Mikheyev and Engvall, you know, specifically, and I thought the two of them kind of, you know, had a dip in the middle of this series, but I thought Mikheyev specifically really jumped out tonight.
So, you know, this is a way better last game that the Leafs got eliminated to break down compared to in Boston, Freddie Henderson having the worst game of his career. Another year, Jake Gardner having the worst game of his career, to Columbus and Montreal, which were unconscionable how horribly they played. So that's the standard we're looking at. And again, the points are very valid about there's positives. But, you know, I'm kind of going back to, and again, I'm using Joel Quenneville as the comment. And I think, you know, decades ago, obviously, I think Bruce Springsteen is someone that has cut through the decades and ages who everybody likes. But there was a comment about I think the writer for Rolling Stone magazine, which was hugely influential, said, I've seen the future of rock and roll, and it's Bruce Springsteen, like in 1973 or something, like whatever it may be. So my point being is Joel Quenneville, when he talked about it 4 years ago, I've seen the future of the Atlantic Division, and it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, at that point, the Tampa Bay Lightning weren't the Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup champions, but that's okay. They could go on and win Stanley Cups, but the future could be the Toronto Maple Leafs still, in his commentary and his compliments. The future is now the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers are where the Toronto Maple Leafs had not been able to get. And 4 years ago, they weren't even in the mix, weren't even in the discussion. Joel Quenneville ends up becoming their coach for a bit, a couple of years later. And now it's the Florida Panthers who the Tampa Bay Lightning will take on. Like, really? That's what happened? At some point, this team was going to supplant the Boston Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning ahead of the Atlantic Division. Haven't done that. And now the Florida Panthers now have come from behind. Like that, what's it called? Strike it rich, that horse in the Kentucky Derby.
That's right.
And is that where we, and I include me, because I'm Leaf Nation, is that where we sit now? Like, seriously? We sit in a worse place than we did 4 years ago with all that promise?
Well, this is the thing, and Gord, I'm stealing a point you've made all season long, but you've been bang on about it. This is why, and man, I hate that I have to go back years and years for this stuff, but it all is tied together. This is why not getting over and past Columbus is a problem. This is why not being able to close out Montreal is a problem. Because here's the thing, players who win early on in their career, or teams that win, cores that win, you know what it does? It begets more winning. Once you learn how to do it, once you have the belief in yourself that you can do it. Tampa Bay Lightning, you think they would have done this tonight if they were just some Tampa team that had all the exact same guys but didn't have the muscle memory of being Stanley Cup champs and having done it a million times? I always make this point about David Pastrnak. You know, for so long, him and Willie Nylander were tied together at the hip in their NHL career. Who would you rather have? Who's the better guy? Well, here's the thing. If Willie Nylander had been on a team, and hey, he's part of it, Pastrnak was part of it, but if he had those experiences of going on deep runs and winning rounds early in his career, one, it gives you more self-belief, and two, I think it does turn you into a different player. And I honestly wonder if now this is what we're starting to see, and this isn't to say that Matthews is flawed or Marner is flawed or any of that, but it is that would they have that extra, I don't know, for lack of a better term, it factor, ability to close it out. And it's not just on one or two guys. It's on this team that's been together, kind of going back to the Columbus series now. If you would have just got it done one time and had that experience, had that know-how, had that belief in yourself, I honestly feel like it'd be so different. And that's why tonight's the killer, because look, we all knew what it was coming into this series against the Lightning. It's going to be incredibly tough. They're the back-to-back cup champs. All the stuff that's been said. But that's why it was such a killer not getting it done against Montreal. And that's why it was such a killer not getting it done against Columbus.
Well, it's interesting about habits. And you know, see, you know, you look at those Boston series not being able to close it out, coming out with your worst in the game number seven. Okay, fine. But the next part is flat out, and I hate using this term, pissing it away against Columbus and Montreal. So you're part of that. You're part of something you had. And, you know, we at lower levels in whatever sports we play can identify with that to some degree. And that's what happened. So all of a sudden this year, you competed very hard. I mean, but you didn't against Montreal. You didn't against Columbus. The games against Boston, you know, like you said, you had Jake Gardner with minus seven. You had Freddie Anderson, like the worst goals he ever let in. So, you know, they became the easy storyline. So the microcosm of this game are many, many positives, even though, you know, one goal at home, last change, 14 shots in two periods won't cut it against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But to your point, like this team has learned to fall short together as a team with guys that have won. They've won. They've won in many other places wherever they played. But they've learned together to fall short, whatever it took, whether it's pissing it away or competing really hard and being up 3-2 and not being able to close the deal.
Yeah, that's it. You know, look. I'm not even saying this is a value judgment on any of these guys. Let's just go through the core of this roster. Morgan Rielly, never done it. Mitch Marner, never done it. Austin Matthews, never done it. John Tavares did it, I believe, once with the Islanders. He advanced to the second round of the playoffs there. We can keep going through the core of this team. I don't know how many more guys are a part of it, but guess what? Outside of the guys who won cups with the Kings, never did it. Jason Spezza, I know Dallas. Hey, that was fun. He's one of the few guys. It's just you have a group full of guys on this team. And I think the other concerning part of it going forward is you tried the thing where you said, hey, let's bring in all this veteran experience. Let's bring in all this veteran know-how. But you need the guys who matter most to be the guys who can kind of get through it. Man, it's just... I'm spinning here, Gordo. I'm trying to keep it all reined in. And there, you know what? Actually, there's two things from tonight's game, and we have a couple of some post-game audio that we've got to hear from as well, including Captain John Tavares. But there's two parts of this game that we haven't really talked about yet. One of them, Braden Point getting injured. If, you know, we it was Luke we were talking with last game, and he made the great point that if I told you Matthews was amazing, Marner was amazing, Morgan Rielly had two goals, Andrei Vasilevsky had been human, Jack Campbell was the better goaltender, you'd say, oh, the Leafs won the series. If I told you tonight Braden Point is going to go down super early in this game, play one more shift and never come back, you'd say, wow, that should bode really, really well for the Leafs. And I'm not going to say it didn't matter at all, but, I mean, look at what Point's been for that team in the playoffs in years past, and they barely skipped a beat without him.
No, totally. And you know, it's Nick Paul that did the Braden Point things, and then when they had the 2-1 lead, even though the Leafs dominated in many things in the third period, they couldn't get a goal. So really, in a lot of ways, Tampa Bay, not playing desperate hockey, just playing hemmed-in hockey, but playing it constructively, blocking shots, not giving chances, or a lot of chances, ended up winning the game. But you know, we're always quick to make injury excuses about Jake Muzzin a couple of years ago, John Tavares, mm-hmm. Thank God he was healthy after that, you know, what have you. But Braden Point being out of the game is very, very significant. And he'd been quiet, but unfortunately for the Maple Leafs, last game six, he wasn't quiet. And the Leafs could have used somebody being Braden Point tonight. That's what it was screaming for. Somebody do what Braden Point did last game for the Maple Leafs tonight. And it didn't happen. And a lot of guys tried. And again, I go back to it. I would have fired way more shots. But anyway, whatever it may be, a lot of guys tried, but at the end didn't succeed.
Well, and boy, you say you needed somebody to be their Braden Point. Needed somebody to be the Nick Paul tonight. Man, we always talk depth scoring. Think of all the studs that are involved in this series. You know, we just mentioned Point and Stamkos and Kucherov and Hedman and Matthews and Marner. And who's the guy who scores a pair of goals in Game 7? It's Nick Paul. You throw that into on top of him. You know, I don't think it was malicious. Look, it's Game 7. The guy's going hard to the net. It is what it is. But he runs Jack Campbell. And maybe we will always just think of this game as just another in the loss of game sevens for the Leafs, but man, Nick Paul not going to be a popular guy at Scotiabank Arena anytime soon.
Let's see. Wayne Gretzky, better known name 29 years ago, came back for his best game in game number 7. We wondered if Steven Stamkos, the local guy, would do that again. Instead, it's Nick Paul. Good on Nick Paul. Good on, hey, those are trade deadline pickups, right? An effective player from the Ottawa Senators. They picked up Brandon Hagel as well. But I can't quibble here. The Maple Leafs with Mark Giordano and Igor Lyubushkin. Ilo Lyubushkin. I'm thinking of Igor Shesterkin being that name being chanted today, which the Penguin fans are eating now. But anyway, those were, particularly in Giordano's case, two excellent pickups by the Maple Leafs at the deadline.
Yeah, and I'll throw Blackwell into there as well. I thought he looked really, really, I know you're big on him as well. I thought he looked really, really spry on that fourth line tonight. We got to hear from some of the principals involved for, I don't know that it was the biggest swing in this game because, you know, the game changed so much after it, but I don't know that there's a bigger storyline coming out of it than the disallowed goal from John Tavares. Let's hear from the Leafs captain.
John, you guys look like you left it all out there tonight. Just your thoughts on the game and how the series is going
to play against. Yeah, it's a tight hockey game. Just didn't make one more play. You know, they made just one more that, you know, gave them obviously the 2-1 advantage. So, guys competed. It's just, it's hard to explain. It's obviously frustrating. Hard to fathom still. Especially the opportunities we had these last two games.
As you guys battled so hard in this game to 7, does it feel different than the Montreal series?
You know, at the end of the day, we didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. So, it stings, it hurts, it's disappointing. So, not really thinking about what was last year or what's now. I think it's just we didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. We're obviously right there. Such a fine line.
Have you seen the call on, have you watched the call on Oliver already?
I haven't really seen it. I didn't see it. I saw it quickly on the bench. I didn't really see it. It's hard for me to call him. I didn't really see it. Obviously, I he's not trying to interfere with him. I think he's trying to, he told me he's trying to just, take his own space. And, you know, it's one of those probably that can go either way.
What was the difference in
the series, John? Hard to pinpoint that one right now. Sometimes it's just timing and just making the key play at the right time. And we did that at a lot of points. And, you know, our opportunities in game 6, obviously a lot of good looks tonight, tied it up. And right there had looks in the third. They blocked a lot of shots. It was obviously hard to get to the net, and we had to find a way. You know, you see why they've won and done what they've done. So, hard to pinpoint. It's just a fine line.
As much as this hurts, do you look at the year as a whole and the potential here to move ahead and make this work at some point?
Well, there's certainly no doubt the belief is strong in that locker room and how tight it is and how hard we're working and trying to find our way and break through. Just hard to just deal with the circumstances right now. Obviously, just really difficult considering, I think, the belief we had in our team and the way we played this series and how close we were.
Does it feel like you're making progress despite the result?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're trying to go all the way, and we haven't been able to get past this hurdle here. To start it off, obviously, we work all year long to build our game, put ourselves in a good spot, and to be ready for these opportunities, and I think we were. Like I said, I think it's just such a fine line. you know, I'd like to think that there was a lot of good things this year, obviously, but I don't think that's at the forefront right now.
I tend to agree. Look, there's so much to take out of this season. Franchise record for points, and, you know, not Tavares, but Matthews, 60 goals. Marner, close to 100 points. You know, easily the best year either of them have ever had. And, look, the especially the 60 goals, that's going to stand forever. That's always going to be a year we'll talk about. But you know what we'll talk about? We'll talk about how it was part of this run. And it was an amazing regular season that ended up not being able to kind of get over that hurdle of the first round. You know, I always love to think about the narrative and think about the way things are going to play out. And, man, in a different world, I guess if Game 6 went differently, we wouldn't have even had tonight. But, man, Gord, in a different world where John Tavares scores two goals in a Game 6 and one of those could have been the winner, and then tonight, you know, he has that goal wiped off the board. This was a guy who I honestly think, I don't know if change people's minds is the right word, but won people back over. So this is a guy eating a ton of criticism early on in this series. Not enough. It's too fast. Doesn't have it anymore. He ate a lot of it during the regular season and still finished at nearly a point per game. I thought the captain was great in the last handful of games in this series. I don't think the Lightning are necessarily the best matchup for him, but in playoffs, you need guys who can kind of play it all different ways. And, you know, if you think about just the cap number, that it's always going to bother you with $11 million. But in terms of what you got out of John Tavares, the player and the captain tonight, man, I mean, my heart breaks for me, but my heart breaks for him that goal got wiped out.
Well, okay. Unfortunately, the cap number always comes into play.
It does.
And, yeah, so there's nobody who cannot love John Tavares. You can't. No, you have to. But you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning team, it's not like guys are making $2 million, but by virtue of where their contracts are, they can slide a few more in because no one's making 11 or 10, whatever. But you know, here's the thing, and I think it was Lance Hornby asked the question. Lance, boy, he's been around this forever. But, you know, like talking about moving forward and, you know, what have you. And I'm thinking, no, those are questions for other years. It's now, can you keep at it? You know, and that becomes tiresome, right? That becomes tiresome when you said, okay, can, you know, you haven't done this year after year after year. Like, can you lose weight? Okay. You know, whatever. Can you really finally lose? Yeah. But I mean, like, that's kind of, it's not about like the future. The future is now. There's no future. Future is now. That's it. So can you, is it like kind of, is it worth keeping at it? And which, of course, the answer, you know, someone texted me right now and said, I don't think flushing the program's the answer. I definitely don't think flushing, like it's not a, like get rid of Austin Matthews, get rid of Mitch Marner, get rid of Nylander, get rid of Tavares, get rid of Morgan Marley. Like I said, that's stupid. No.
Agreed.
And I think most fans understand that, but it's like, this is unacceptable in 2022. This, the number, not this game per se, but where the Leafs, you know, given all that happened and seeing what the Toronto Raptors did when Masai came in and whatever, when you put it all together and you do it, right? You know, and here it's like, okay, you know, because first of all, because the guys that took over, the team sucks so bad, you got a first overall pick, a fourth overall pick in Marner, eighth overall pick in Nylander, you know, whatever. And a lot of other great things were done. But hey, whoa. Like, wow, now, okay, great. So we've handed the baton to the Florida Panthers. And so next year we'll be here again, another great regular season. Maybe the same, all kinds of records, maybe a little bit less. But again, a first round elimination, you know, like, are we going to like it? Not bloody likely, like enough.
No, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. And, you know, you go back to, you know, everybody has their quibbles or their thoughts about the way the team was put together this year. And when you bow it in the first round again, those are all very fair conversations to have. But, you know, it's, if you look at the moves that were made last offseason, it's two that bite you. And it's Peter Mrazek and it's Nick Ritchie. Now, Nick Ritchie, with the help of a draft pick, they were able to turn into Ilya Labushkin, so they were able to get out of that. But, you know, I know there are going to be people sitting here, and we talked about the cap number that comes up. What could you have done with Peter Mrazek's money? And, you know, I totally got the gamble. It did not pay out at all, and now you've got to find a new deal for Jack Campbell in all this as well. And, you know, I don't know that we've talked a ton about Campbell tonight. In a series where he went up against what we all consider to be, you know, the best or at least the best money goalie in the world, he was right there. And I don't even know, Gord, that we can say the thing that we always say in after a Leafs playoff series, that, well, the goaltending was fine, but they got out goalied. I don't know that they did. They did tonight, but I don't know that they did in this series. And it's just another kind of check for all the things that went right for this team this year. And you just you ran up against the back-to-back champs. And this is why you had to have a better regular season. And this is why you had to get it done before. But, I mean, I do want to talk about Campbell for a second here. It's just he was fine tonight, but throughout this series he was a difference maker at certain times. He got the shutout in game one, and it's frustrating. And again, it'd be almost easier if you could say, ah, the goalie couldn't get it done. Not the case.
Not at all. And as you're talking, because I've said that this is the goaltending that Ed Belfour and Curtis Joseph gave them for six seasons, you know, back when they were winning playoff rounds. But I'm thinking it through now, and I'm saying that again, tonight is bearing too much of the burden and memory and bitterness and sourness of playoffs of yesteryear, and not playoffs of 20 years ago, playoffs 1-2 years ago. And so it's kind of like, you know, you and I and everybody out there, and you talk about, so this year there's 89 games, so mm-hmm. you know, whatever number of days you go to work, whatever your worst day may be. Okay. No, it's not the case this year. Your 89th day of work was not your 89th worst day. But you know what? Columbus, Montreal, Boston, that's been the problem. That's what we live with in Toronto. Why is your absolute worst, and this core group included, performance in those games that matter the most? So tonight, you know, our expectation, the bar is raised, which it should be, okay? And this team didn't make it their worst game of the season. This team competed like they've done all playoffs and by and large most of the regular season. But again, it wasn't good enough. Like pick a million other games that are your best game. Like, you needed something closer to that tonight. Not 14 shots in the first two periods, not taking advantage of home ice advantage, the matchups and all those things, not getting more shots on goal, not the one or two faux pas, whatever it may be. So this one, we're being a little harder on them. And if this was 3 years ago, or 2 years ago against Columbus, or 3 years ago against Boston, or last year Montreal, you know, we'd have an easier time, you know, talking about it and the effort and battling till the end. Well, that's the problem. We still get pissed about the other years when they didn't, and we kind of lump it all together, right? So, you know, again, like I say, when we look at to take away from the small picture, which we brought up many, many, many positives, I've totally agree with them. You got to go. You still go back to the big picture, and really, that's why, you know, decisions are made. That's why Brendan Shanahan was bought in. That's why he brought in Lou Lamoriello. That's why he made the change, put Kyle Dubas there. That's why Mike Babcock was bought in. That's why the change was to put Sheldon Keefe in. Okay, understand all that, but wait, to have zero playoff wins, and I'm not being a jerk about that. Obviously, they know they expected playoff wins, but I'm just saying, hey, come on, all these things were made, and you got zero playoff series wins, regardless that this may have been the best competed of all those. You're still at the end. You got zero.
Yeah, it's the old Gene Wilder and Willy Wonka. Nothing. You lose. You get nothing. Good day, sir. That's what it's been throughout this
tenure. Very good.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good one. I thought that was a good little acting job by me, and good
very
pull.
Good.
I went back to the 70s for that one, Gordo. I'm pretty, pretty proud of myself there. We have continued to break this down. I'm seeing some quotes come out, or at least descriptions of the Leafs postgame. Sounds like Matthews and Marner are pretty broken up right now. And why wouldn't they be? They gave their all. They played a tremendous game. They played a tremendous series. Ultimately, not enough. We're going to continue to hear from some of the Leafs. We may hear from Sheldon Keefe, depending on how long he takes to make his way to the podium. Also, our buddy Luke Fox may join us. Who knows? A little dealer's choice coming up on a sad Leafs Nation postgame here. Leafs falling to the Lightning 2-1 is the final in Game 7. Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick will break it down more after this. Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick here, walking you through the post-mortem on another Leafs first-round loss this time. It is a 2-1 final in Game 7 on home ice to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Gord, the guy who scored the lone Leafs goal tonight, he has maybe the most perspective on these losses. He is the lone guy who goes all the way back to Boston many, many moons ago. Let's hear from Morgan Riley.
Morgan, looked like you guys left everything out there. Just your thoughts on this.
Yeah, obviously, to your point, I thought there's opportunities there over the course of the game. Good sequences. But, I mean, like you said, the outcome is obviously very disappointing.
A lot of fans stuck around right to the end. Mm-hmm. If you're recognizing how special the season was in many respects, what does that mean to you? Can you still feel that pride in how you guys handled this year?
Yeah, we have a lot of support from our fans. We're very fortunate that way. And in certain ways, there were good things that happened this year. And I thought all through the playoffs, we had a lot of support, especially the home games. The crowd was phenomenal. So, you know, for them to stick around is nice. And, I mean, like I said, we have a lot of support here. And as players, we want to, you know, keep playing and, you know, win playoff series for our fans and to, you know, make these runs longer.
The disappointment is the same. The results are the same. But did this feel different, Morgan, compared to past?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been thinking about that the last couple of minutes. It's not right now, because the feeling is the same. The outcome is the same. Whether or not there's, you know, differences or more positives or whatever, it's going to take some time to figure that out. Ultimately, the outcome is the same, which is very disappointing. So, I mean, we'll break it down further, but right now, no.
Is your feeling the essence of this team, though, just needs to keep growing and improving little by little? I mean, record season, you draw that two-time cup champ, just a little bit more and you're where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I think you want to think that way. Like we're moving in the right direction. Like we're getting somewhere. I think that the belief was different this year. Within our group, in terms of what we could have accomplished. So to answer your question, I think if you're looking at it that way, I think I think you're onto something. I think that there is strides being made in the right direction when you talk about the regular season, what you're able to do. Like I said, when the outcome is the same in the playoffs, it makes it difficult to reflect on it much differently than you have in the past. But with time, I think we'll get a chance to think a little more clearly and to reflect with a little more clarity. And try to find positives. We'll try to find, the areas that held us back. And just like, everybody else, we're going to look to improve on those areas and ultimately become a team that, is winning playoff series.
Is there a difference tonight or a difference in the series that you thought?
In the game?
In the game and the series that could have changed it for you, though?
It's a game of inches. I think that there's always, little things that go your way or don't go your way or go their way. But that's the game, and I think you can't really focus on those things you look at a playoff series. There's lots of things, and when it comes down to the last game of the series, it's kind of about execution. It's not as much X's and O's. You're pretty familiar with one another. So, in terms of the game tonight, again. I think I'll have to watch it back. But I thought for Piers the game, there's a lot of belief. There's a lot of belief within our group that we were going to be able to come back and, eventually get it done. I think that there was a reason to believe in terms of how we were playing. I don't think that was just made up. I think that there were sequences that we were playing well and, guys believed. And, sometimes it's half the battle, but obviously not enough tonight.
The interference call on Justin Hall. Leave you guys scratching your head?
I don't really know. I don't know the rules really. That's up to those guys. And if it's interference, that it is what it is. It's just a piece of adversity that as a group we have to overcome.
They're not taking the bait, Gord. I want somebody on this team to light up the officiating, but they are not taking the bait. I'm seeing some quotes from Sheldon Keefe as well. Not even on his mind in terms of the Justin Hall interference penalty on the wiped off John Tavares goal there. And, you know, it's been a tact of theirs all year, honestly, Gord, that they don't want to blame officiating. They've had chances. You know, I've come on here and complained about it more times than enough, but it's really not been something, and I think that's a good thing to have in your team. It doesn't do them any favors right now, but I think it's great that they don't look for excuses, and I was going to ask you about that, but I'll now ask for a guy we've broken down so many of these games with, our buddy, Luke Fox. Luke, How you doing? How is the team? Well, what do we take out of this 2-1 loss to the Lightning? Boy, this is so different than Montreal. It's so different than Columbus. But I feel the same way. And looking at the quotes from the players, it seems like they do as well.
Yeah, I think Sheldon Keefe summed it up really nicely at the very end. He said that when they were going through that handshake line, he felt like he got a lot more respect, that the Maple Leafs got a lot more respect from the winning team than he had experienced in past handshake lines. And that was really interesting to me. But then he added, we're not in the respect business. We're in the winning business. And we didn't get the result. And he said, this one actually hurts more because the team was better, because they fought to the end. And they were right there. And I think that's what stinks. It hurts more when you're closer. You know, John Tavares was saying how it was a fine line, and Austin Matthews, you know, hushed voice, probably fighting back tears, you know, lump in the throat is like, we're right there, we're right there. And they're not wrong. I mean, this was a tight series. Came down to one goal. When I look at it, I don't want to think too much about this game because I think they battled hard. They ran into probably the best clutch goalie in the world. They ran into maybe the best pure defenseman, you know, all due respect to Cale Makar, but Victor Hedman in terms of defending is just a beast. And they ran into two-time champs that have all the confidence in the world, and they came up a little bit short. They should be proud of their effort. But when I think about the series, I think about how they were up 1-0 and couldn't make it 2-0. I think about how they were up 2-1 and couldn't make it 3-1. You know, they're up 3-2 and couldn't finish the job. They had their chances to take a stranglehold early, and they gave it all on this night, though.
Well, you know, and here's Luke, where I could have handled this in other years, and I totally agree. And I like this team. I really like this team, this particular team. Mm-hmm. And I thought they battled hard, competed hard, but you know, it's underwhelming once again. 14 shots in two periods, home ice advantage, last change, all that stuff. You know, I was just saying earlier, 4 years ago, or five, you know, when Matthews and Marner first came on board, Joel Quenneville was in town with the Chicago Blackhawks and said, I've seen the future of the Atlantic Division, and it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. This reminds me of when we got Kane and Taves and went whatever. And here we sit, and the future are the Florida Panthers. You know, and that's where you got to look at, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, it's just, and I could take these battles more, great, but the putrid exits against teams they should have beaten, Columbus, Montreal, or something these guys wear. So I'm doing the minutiae of two. And the fact that, you know, he made the Shanny brought in Dubas over Lamoriello at some point because he wanted to accelerate the process to get to the promised land. You know, it was that urgent. You know, just adds to it. And I love this team. People are texting, you can't break, you know, can't get rid of. I love these guys. I'm not, you don't tear it down. But I'm pissed off. It's underwhelming. And I'm glad Sheldon Keefe added the last part, because getting respect, that's 3 years ago. Now, you know, like, hey, did you, and do not bring up the word process whenever they have their post interviews, like whether it's Shanahan, Keefe, Dubas, whatever, don't, this is not part of the process. You gotta find the killer instinct to win this sucker, okay? You gotta find the killer instinct like Masai's Raptors did to win this sucker.
Well, I think it's interesting that you bring up Masai, because if they do decide to keep all the same brass, if Shanahan keeps his job and Dubas keeps his job and Keefe keeps his job, if they keep all those guys, I wonder if they need their DeMar DeRozan moment. And I'm not saying, you know, the big guys didn't show up, because if you look at the top five Leaf point producers in this series, it is the main five guys that they built this core around. The core four forwards of Morgan Rielly. Who scored tonight? Morgan Rielly. John Tavares got taken off the board. But in these last three games, all those guys showed up. Austin Matthews, honestly, these last three games, he's been the best player on the ice, I'd say, for both teams. Like, he's all over the place, throwing hits. He's trying to make things happen. I don't think you can fault the core of this team in this series. In past series, sure, but not this series. So what do? Because imagine these guys, same team, except for a few of the more fringe role players, all show up at training camp, and you're sitting there, and you're looking at the faces, and they've lost six series in a row. They're, I believe, 0-9 in games where they've had a chance to eliminate their opponent. It's just, at what point do you feel like you may need to change the mix a little bit? So I wonder if that's the route they go if everyone, you know, in the top keeps their jobs. Because I don't think Kyle Dubas built a poor roster here. I think they got a really tough draw in round one. I mean, let's see how the Lightning do with the Panthers. But I think that, you know, the quotes from the Lightning room, they said that's one of the toughest series they've had to go through.
Boy, that John Cooper certainly changed his tone now once the final buzzer turned on the series. These guys, are they, I don't know, was there even another team out there? We just made so many mistakes, and I would have Austin Matthews on my team tomorrow if he became available. So, hey, look, it's all part of the game there. Last one from me, Luke, before we let you go and go write and figure all this out. I have tried to suck Gord into complaining about the officiating with me. Maybe I can help you walk me down this road. This John Tavares wiped off goal. I understand it is interference to the letter of the law. Can you remember seeing something like that in a spot like that against a home crowd like that? I'm not saying the crowd should affect the officiating one way or another. I cannot remember a call getting wiped out in a moment like that for, again, yes, it is a pick. Yes, it is interference, but so are 10,000 other plays, or that's an exaggeration, but 15 other plays like that a game. What was your thought when that call happened and your thought now that you've had a couple hours to sit on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it doesn't get called if it doesn't result in a goal, but you know, fans don't want to hear it, but that's interference. That was a pick. And it resulted in Tavares getting a little extra space and scoring a goal. Justin Hall apparently told John Tavares that wasn't what he was trying to do. He was just trying to hold his space. The Leafs took the high road. They didn't really complain about that. And honestly, you could go through the tape and you could argue about calls for both sides. I've been at every single one of these games, and ref you suck chants have thundered through Amalie Arena and Scotiabank Arena in both of them. Both fan bases at times feel jilted by the refs. I don't want to put this that the Leafs lost the series because of an interference call. You can't leave the margin for error that small. If you want to win and knock off a really good team like Tampa Bay Lightning, you can't leave it to chance over one call. You got to score another goal on Andre Vasilevsky, or you have to block more shots. You know, Gord, you're talking about the defending and the number of shots, and they weren't getting enough to the net. Part of that has to do with the Tampa Bay Lightning willing to sacrifice the body. They were getting bodies and sticks in front of everything, and they defended hard. They defended harder than the Maple Leafs tonight, and I think that was more the difference than the refs.
No, I want to be, you don't need me to tell you this, Luke. I want to be clear. This isn't the Leafs loss because of the ref. It's just when we're going to be, this isn't in a conference final, so maybe we won't have to hear about it for 30 years like I've heard about Gretzky's high stick on Gilmore. Yeah. We're going to be hearing about this one for a while. Let me tell you about that, Luke Fox. Luke, thank you so much. I've so thoroughly enjoyed all the chats this year. Love seeing your work both on TV and on sportsnet.ca. Thanks so much, man.
All right, well, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Well, I mean, that ship has kind of sailed, to be perfectly honest. There he goes, Luke Fox. Yeah, good night. I don't know that can happen. Gord, I'm kind of joking when I ask you this question, but again, I come to you for perspective and to, let's be honest, talk me off the ledge a little bit here. Is this team cursed? Are Are the Leafs, like, do you believe in sports curses? Because I go to the Tavares play last year. I go to the fact that I'm going to think about that Tavares goal being wiped out for seemingly at least a decade now. You know, we go back, it's been 9 straight chances. They've had how many cracks at it? Are they cursed, Gord?
So I'll bring up one quick stat because TV fella mentioned it. Part of, if you get a power play, Leafs are now 0 for 18. Last opportunities from trying to clinch a playoff round. They, like, a good power play should be 4 for 18. A great power play should be 5 for 18. And ergo, what I'm talking about. No, not cursed. They just can't deliver at the most critical time. And this team that made the best effort of any of them is somewhat unfairly getting lumped into previous years. But the core group were part of those previous years that went out pathetically, as opposed to this team that battled. So, you know, I picked them to win the Stanley Cup. You know that. And I worried about this round. I picked them to win in 7, first time I've ever picked them. And, you know, maybe next year they win it. And I believe once they win it, the switch flips, and, oh, my God, you're full of confidence, full of pizzazz, and you're kicking ass like they did for a big chunk of the regular season. So I know we feel like we're cursed, but, no, it comes down to analyzing, being underwhelming again tonight in the games that mattered to close out a series, and that's what they were.
There it is. Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick here with you, walking you through the Leafs' loss in Game 7. J.R. Manitat, Brett Armstrong keeping us on the air tonight. Thanks so much for listening all season long. It's been Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.